We who are disciples of Christ, who are God followers, we're in the habit of asking blessings of God, asking Him to bless us. And that's as it should be. That's good and right, because God's in the habit of blessing people. You know, all the way from the beginning, here's what Genesis said about it. God created man in His own image. In the image of God, He created him, male and female. He created them, and He blessed them. That's Genesis 1:26. So we're made in the image of God, and one of the God-like skills that we have then is the ability to bless. I'd like you to know this. Satan hates you. Satan hates you. And he hates me. And he wants your family to fall apart. I think that is perhaps one of Satan's best achievements in the world, is to break families up. And he wants anger and resentment and harsh words to flow freely in your family so that your family doesn't survive. But we can prevent that in many cases. Jesus was talking to his followers one time, and he was giving them blessings. He said, "Blessed are certain people." He said, "Blessed are the meek, because they'll do what? They'll inherit the earth."
Yeah.
"Blessed are the merciful, because they will obtain mercy." Yeah. "And blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." And then he said something really significant. He said, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they'll be called sons of God." That's in Matthew 5. When we're promoting peace, we're blessing other people and we're being blessed. And let me say here, peacemaking is not the same thing as war winning. That you don't have to fight a war to be a peacemaker. I read Sun Tzu's Art of War several times, and he even said that the best war to win is one you don't ever fight. So peacemaking, then, is not the same thing as war winning. Peacemaking is a skill that we can develop, and it requires a lot of positive intention. It's no mystery about families in trouble. I mean, you don't have to go very far or study very hard to know that families get in trouble. And generally, at the core of family problems is selfishness. It's a self-centeredness. It's a wanting of what I want right now and at the expense of others. So peacemaking is a skill, and it's an active pursuit. And when we get good at it, the blessings of God seem to follow along. So I'd like to say to you, if you're accustomed to putting a lot of energy into tearing up your family, you don't have to keep doing that. I had a guy working for me once named Tommy Ross. He's died, but he was an old alcoholism counselor, but he was an alcoholic, and he had been an alcoholism counselor for a lot of years, and he loved to tell his story, and he told how he had been in psychiatric hospitals 9 times trying to get sober, and he had in his file followed him everywhere he went, so it got thicker and thicker and thicker. And finally, about the 9th time he was in the hospital, the psychiatrist was looking at his file, and he said, "Mr. Ross, I see here that you have put quite a bit of attention and energy into destroying yourself. In fact, you seem to have gotten really good at it." He said, "Did you know that the energy and attention that you have put into negative behavior, you have that exact same ability to put into positive behavior?" Well, Tommy didn't never heard that before. Never heard that before. So, if you've been really bad, take heart, because you've got a lot of energy. You can be really good. Isn't that some good news? Well, okay, you can turn all that energy into blessing your family. And every age can bless your family. Kids can bless your family. What's the Bible say about children? Honor your father and your mother. Well, when you do, that's Ephesians 6, and they were quoting Deuteronomy if you want to look it up. It has a promise with it, that it may go well with you and that your days might be long upon the earth. So honor your father and mother. Well, when you do that, you bless your family. You bless your family by doing right when the wrong is popular. You can bless your parents by building a good name. My mom and dad used to say that they loved it when somebody said good about something good about their children. And I didn't understand that very much until I had some children and some people said something good about them. And then I understood it. It blesses your mama and daddy for people to say good things about you. And the way you do that is you build a good name and you do what's right. And you bless your family. It's real simple to do. Remember the Lord in the days of your youth. You know, my mom used to say something that really helped me. She said, Jesus grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And she said, that's just what you're doing, Nathan. And I took into believing her. It put a lot of pressure on me to do right. And so there's a lot of things that I did wrong in my life, but there's a lot more I didn't do wrong. And part of it was I didn't want to disappoint my mom and daddy. It hurt my feelings to disappoint them. Because they didn't have a tendency to strike me as much as they did to be sad for me. And that hurt me really badly if I wasn't doing right. So, kids, you can bless your whole family by just doing right, doing the right thing. And parents, you can bless your children so they know their family is a safe and good place to be. Bring them up in the nurture and admonition of God, of the Lord. That's Ephesians 6:2. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Well, God's nurturing, isn't He? Isn't God a nurturing God? Well, that's what we ought to be doing. And it'll bless our kids when we do that. And admonish means to correct. So we not only nurture them, but we can correct them. And that grows them up the way that's a way that's good and right. So God sees the pain of His children and He responds to them. And so we can also do the same thing. Wives, you can bless your husbands a lot. Did y'all read Proverbs 31 before? Proverbs 31 is a real good chapter to read about women. In verse 27 says, she watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. I don't think my wife ever cooked a biscuit of idleness in her life. She's the busiest one person I've ever seen in my life, and I'm really, really proud of her. And you know what the next verse says? Her children rise and call her blessed, and her husband also, and he praises her. Well, Lindy blesses me. I mean, I praise Lindy because she blesses me. And so, wives and moms, you can bless your families by doing these things. You can just read Proverbs 31 and do some of that, and it'll bless them real good. And men, I think we have the biggest opportunity to bless our families because we've been given the responsibility for it. Jacob, you know, wasn't it Jacob that blessed his family leaning on his staff? And we can bless our sons. You know, kids don't even know when they're grown up. I think in other cultures there's some kind of ritual that you go through to know when you're grown up, but not here. So I finally got down to it that a boy knows he's a man only when his dad tells him he is. What do you think? How many dads have never told their sons that they're men? Oh, man, you're missing out on a big blessing if you don't tell your sons that they're good men. We can bless them a lot by telling them that and affirming them saying the good things to them about who they are. We can bless our daughters by modeling the right actions on how a man ought to treat his family. We can bless our wives by loving them enough to die for them. And we can bless all of them by standing in the gap and defending them and fighting for them at our own peril. We fight a fight. It seems like I'm in a fight every day, I must admit. And it almost feels as if it's a fight for survival every day of my whole life. But it's not against people or wild beasties or anything. It's against unseen things. It's against powers that I don't see. It's fight despair against hope. It's fighting nurture against anger. It's fighting resentment against forgiveness. Those type of things. My job is to stand in the gap where my family is at peril and stave off whatever it is that's attacking my family or threatening my family. Best physical example of that I've ever seen is old Pete Steyn, my buddy from South Africa, who's a professional hunter. He was with a client, and he was tracking an elephant that they were wanting to shoot, and he came on another elephant that he didn't want to shoot. But this elephant was mad at him for some reason. And he got too close to the elephant before either one of them saw each other. And so he got in the elephant's space. And he kind of tried to shoo him away. And try to get the elephant to move. And he did. The elephant did. He got it on video. And the elephant turned away just a little bit, and then all of a sudden that elephant just turned around and flared his ears, and he came straight at the camera. And the cameraman kind of got scared, so he ran off, and so I didn't catch that part. But we heard two shots, and then the cameraman turned around, and the elephant had fallen 5 steps from Pete in front of him, headed toward him. Well, I don't know if Pete loved his client or not, or if he just loved his own life or what it was, but the thing that happened there was it's a perfect example of standing in the gap at your own peril for the safety of others. It's the best one I can think of. Pete stood there, and that elephant 100% sure was going to kill him, and he stopped him 5 feet away from him, or 5 steps away anyway. And that, even if Pete didn't even like his client, that's one of the best examples of love that there is. It's the active concern for the well-being of another. And that's what happened there. Guys, we can do that for our family, and that's what we're called to do. We're called to be men. We're called to stand in the gap, and we're called to protect our families and to be the kind of people we're supposed to be. Older men and women. My dad and my mom both said it's a shame you have to outlive your usefulness before they died. And I think it's a shame that they thought that. I read a book one time called Masculine Journey, written by Robert Hicks. Robert Hicks is a theologian. There are 6 words in the Hebrew language that are translated as man. And they roughly parallel the phases of a man's life as he goes through his life. You definitely think different when you're 20 than you do when you're 50. And you think different when you're 80 than you do when you're 50. And he said that we're getting in too big of a hurry to reach our prime. A man who's 40 years old is just a baby. He doesn't know hardly anything yet. You need to get to be 70 or 80 years old before you know anything. That's the Hebrew thinking about it. That's the elder. He thinks, and I think, that the older men and women are just now reaching the fulfillment of their lives, their greatest contribution to mankind. And it's not necessarily good to sequester older people into retirement homes or into bedrooms. It's not that good for them. And it's not all that good for them to be only among their own kind because the babies need them. And the young people need them. That's something I think might be missing a lot in our particular society. But it wasn't in the Hebrew society. And that the name of that is Zaken, Z-A-K-E-N. If this book's out of print, which means you can buy it cheap online. Masculine Journey. It's a fascinating book. And he talks about the Zaken, like the sitter at the gate. He's the purveyor of wisdom. He's the graybeard. He's the man who actually knows things now and can present it to the younger people, where the younger people don't have to do the same mistakes over and over and over again. You can bless people, the most older people, by just being there for one thing, by hanging in for another thing. My dad blessed me by teaching me how to die. Is that not one of the best blessings in the world? To teach me first how to live and then teach me how to die. Provider of wisdom as an elder. And know that you're just now in the prime of your life. And be a mentor. The younger people need mentors desperately. Here's what Robert Hicks said about a Zaken. The scriptures provide us with a much longer look at this thing called manhood. At 40, we're just kids. At the end of Moses' life, he wrote a song to teach the nation of Israel to remember what God had done for him. And here's what it said. Remember the days of old. Consider the years of all generations. Ask your father, and he will inform you. Ask your elders. Ask your Zaken people, and they will tell you. In other words, when one generation is on the verge of denying the ability of God to do something, bring in the elders. So people who are older in this congregation and think that your usefulness is going away, please know that your usefulness is reaching its peak. And it's real good to not withdraw. It's really excellent to stay involved. Some of you call my children pretty often. How important is that? What effect are you having that you'll never know? I think a good deed done lives about 10 generations down, or even more than that. You can bless your family. So all of us at all ages can bless our families, and we can bless them with our thoughts. When you're mad at them, you tend to cuss them out in your thoughts. We can bless them by blessing them in our thoughts instead of cursing them. We can bless them in our prayers. Call them out by name to God and ask God to hold them in the palm of his hand, because especially if we can't handle them right now, ask God to handle them for a while. And ask him to bless them. We can bless our family with a good name. I took a job one time for the state in Tennessee doing drug prevention among kids in school. And the county commissioner heard that I'd gotten appointed to that position. And she heard who I was. And she said something to somebody. She said, well, if he's half the man his daddy is, he'll sure be good. Ah. Now, that put some pressure on me, but it sure made me proud of my dad, right? We bless our families by promoting a good name, by doing right, and by doing good in the community. So, you know, and my dad heard about that, and he had some real sweet words to say to me, and it was a really, really treasured time for me. And it can be for all of us if we just bless our family by being good people, by being godly people. We can bless our family by being disciples of Jesus and followers of God. I was walking with my son-in-law the other night, and I said, "Hey, I'm thinking about talking about blessing your family Sunday night. What do you think?" He said, "Well, it kind of all comes down to the same thing. No matter what you say, it all comes down to following God, doesn't it?" I said, "Yeah, JP, but I got to talk 20 minutes here." Yeah. You got to say a little more than that. But it does come down to that, doesn't it? It really does. We bless our families by being God followers, by being disciples of Jesus. And finally, we can work on ourselves. We can bless our families by working on ourselves. It's too big of a burden. It's too big of a burden to think that our family has to change in order for us to bless them. It's too big of a burden for us to think we have to change our family in order for us to bless our family. Because we have a hard time changing just us, much less the next person, even if they're in our own family. So we can work on us. So the best method of blessing them is changing us and allowing the layers of selfishness and defensiveness and resentments of the past to dissolve in the mercies of God and in the healing of our families. And we can do that. God believes in us. He wouldn't have told us to do so many things if He didn't believe we could do it. So it's a mistake to teach each other that we should believe in God without us also teaching each other that God believes in us. So be a blessing to your family tonight. To love one another is a gift to the Savior. How are you doing at it? Are you doing good? You know, repentance, all repentance is just turning around and going a different direction. And we, each one of us, have an opportunity to do that. And I want to invite you to do it tonight. If you're going the wrong direction, you don't have to keep doing that. We don't have to keep on doing that. We can turn around and be a blessing to those who are around us. And if you need to, repent and come to God as we stand and sing.
Zion's call sweetly rings over land and sea, bidding us look to realms above. While the light from the throne shines for you and me, let us listen to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us hear the call of love. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength cometh from above. As we labor and wait, we must all be true. Let us listen to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us hear the call of love.
Thank you. You can be seated.
We do have some announcements this evening.
Thank you, Nathan. That was a very interesting presentation. I'm sure we all enjoyed it.